if you believe that much of the Jewish nation has been cut off from God by rejecting the Messiah, could it be that much of the professing church has been cut off by God for rejecting the Jewish people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, welcoming you to the broadcast. This is a very special broadcast today on Thursday, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire. I won't be taking any calls, and those of you who are listening online and can listen to both hours, there's no city in America right now that gets both hours. Most get an hour, some get a half hour of our 2 hours. If you're listening online, you'll notice you'll hear the same 1 hour twice today. Call a friend, encourage them to tune in. We also have a unique resource offer that we're only doing for 24 hours. I'll tell you about that in a little while. No hype. It's just a special way to be a blessing to you as you help us with an important project. You can go to the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire to interact with today's broadcast. Okay, let me lay this out. Most Christians would say, followers of Jesus would say, that the Jewish people as a whole, as a nation, as a people, by their rejection of the Messiah, rejecting Jesus as Messiah, have thereby been cut off in some way from spiritual blessing. Paul writes about it in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and addresses it again in 2 Corinthians 3. And talks about a veil that's over the heart and mind of the Jewish people. Now, I know many sincere rabbis, religious Jews, are very offended by that concept, but certainly they would have to turn to me as a Jewish follower of Jesus and tell me I'm either misled or deceived in some way or believing wrongly. And some would speak in very strong terms to me that say I'm a dangerous apostate. So we're both passionate about this on both sides. But if you're a follower of Jesus, believe the witness of the New Testament, then you have to believe that something happened, and the role that the Jewish people were playing in the earth and the role that Israel was playing in the earth as a nation, something has gone wrong with that, because of which, with the Messiah being rejected, Paul talks about branches being broken off. He speaks of Israel, the nation, as an olive tree. You can suggest that the roots are the patriarchs, or the roots Jesus himself. But the nation is depicted as an olive tree in Romans, the 11th chapter. And Paul begins to address Gentile believers in Romans 11. Please note this carefully. He does not refer to the Gentile believers as spiritual Jews or spiritual Israel. If he was going to do that, that would have been the perfect place to do it. He doesn't. Instead, he says, I'm writing to you Gentiles, and as much as I'm the apostle to the Gentiles, meaning you are the people of the nations. And branches of the natural olive tree have been broken off, and these wild olive branches, is how he's depicting the Gentiles, have been grafted in. Some broken off, others grafted in. But Paul warns, don't be arrogant, don't fall into unbelief, or you too will be cut off. Has that happened in church history? The answer is a devastating, loud, and clear yes. And we need to understand the importance of that today. Again, I will not be taking calls, but please weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, when I wrote The Real Kosher Jesus in a miraculous 3 weeks earlier this year, and even more miraculously from the day I started writing until the day it came out was less than 2.5 months, we made a special arrangement with the publisher to print a couple thousand copies of the hardcover version. Any bookstore you walk into, any online service you go to, you can only get the paperback. We have the hardcover. We printed up a couple thousand. We've gone through a good number of them, but we must make our last payment to the publisher for this initial printing, and you're going to help us do it, and we're going to bless your socks off. Stay with me. I'll tell you how.
fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on The Line of Fire. By the way, we will not be debuting any music, any messianic music that possibly would be used for the bumper music when we fade back in after a break on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Hopefully we'll resume doing that next week, and we've gotten a lot of suggestions from a lot of viewers. We're just considering the possibility and interacting with you about it. But you can interact with us by way of website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I won't be taking any calls today. And I want to take you on a journey from New Testament times until modern times and indicate to you how the church has hurt itself grievously when it has not recognized its Jewish roots, when it has despised the Jewish fatherhood of the faith, if you will, when it has said we have replaced Israel and the Jewish people, the church is the new Israel, there have always been serious spiritual consequences and much more through history. So I'll talk to you about that as the broadcast goes on. So let me just finish what I was saying right before the break. I'm holding in my hand a beautiful copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. We continue to get rave reviews from readers, professional scholars, readers just picking the book up. We get rave reviews from folks. We're so thrilled with this. It is the number one thing I've ever written to give to a Jewish person who's seeking, who has questions about Jesus, and the number one thing I've ever written to put in the hands of a believer, a follower of Jesus, to open up eyes as to who he really is. The book was from the day God laid it on my heart to write, January 19th, to the day it came out, less than 2.5 months from the day I started writing the first words to the day the book was published. Really miraculous. I never had anything like that happening. We're not talking about an ebook either. We're talking about fine publisher putting the book out. Here's the deal, though. In order to print these hardcovers, we extended ourselves to print 2,000 hardcover volumes. We've gone through a good number of them, but of course thousands of paperback volumes have sold. The book sells for $25 plus postage. We're doing something for 24 hours only because we have one last obligation to meet to the publisher. So we're basically getting these to you at our cost. $30 postage paid. You'll get two hardcover volumes of The Real Kosher Jesus. All right? If you feel guilty, like you're taking advantage of us, hey, let us bless you. You can always give more money if you want. But throughout the show today, call, and this will expire at midnight tonight, okay? We're just doing this for 24 hours. We started it early this morning, and it'll go to like Pacific time, midnight. 24 hours, two volumes, Real Kosher Jesus, $30 postage paid. We're talking about the hardcover volume that sells for $25 for one. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go right online, askdrbrown.org, click on the online bookstore, and you'll see the special offer, or call 1-800-278-9978. That's two hard cover volumes, and we'll pay the postage on top of it. All right. Church history. Thank God for the good he's done for the witness of godly people through church history. Thank God for the hospitals that have been built. Thank God for the educational institutions that have been established. Thank God for the scientific discoveries that have been made by leaders among God's people in the church. Thank God for the nations that have been reached with the gospel through missions. Thank God for all of that. But the truth be told, there are so many blemishes. There are so many dark spots in church history. The truth be told that most religious Jews associate Christianity with the Holocaust. The opening chapter of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, is called May His Name and Memory Be Blotted Out. When a religious Jew says Yeshu instead of Yeshua, he may not be consciously saying this, but what it stands for is in Hebrew, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be blotted out. Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, that's what Yeshu or Yeshu stands for as a religious Jewish person would say that name as opposed to Yeshua. Why such animosity? Why such anger? I remember debating at Yale University. I did a presentation one time, and some religious Jews were there afterwards and were very offended by the presentation that I gave for a number of reasons. And I said, just stay till the end, and we'll get involved. We'll go back and forth with Q&A. I gave them extra time to talk and present their views. And one of the men, when he would say Jesus or something close to that, or Yeshka, something ugly, he'd spat on the floor. This was at a campus classroom that seated 100-something people at Yale University. The word, the name was so distasteful to him, he spat on the floor. I was talking to an ultra-Orthodox rabbi, and he told me that he can dialogue with me about these issues, Christianity and so on, or Messianic Judaism, but in his mind, Christianity. And he told me if his father talked about it, he would not be able to talk without throwing up if the subject of Christianity came up. I asked this ultra-Orthodox rabbi who lives in the States, in your home community where you live in New Jersey, does the average person there, talking about an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, many of them come from Eastern Europe, the average person there, do they associate the Holocaust with Christianity? He said yes. You said, that's outrageous. Oh, okay, it is outrageous. But there's a reason that religious Jews think like that. Well, it's because they're blind. No, it's because much of church history, the church history they know, has been ugly and brutal and the very opposite of the witness of Jesus. In The Real Kosher Jesus, I start here Wednesday evening, November 9th, 1938. The Holocaust began as Nazi troops destroyed or set on fire Jewish homes and synagogues, smashed the windows of Jewish places of business, looting them too, and killed or wounded scores of Jews. This was Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, a vicious Nazi response to the November 7th murder of a German diplomat in France by a 17-year-old German-Jewish refugee named Herschel Greenspan. Kristallnacht also served as a test run for the Nazis. What would the German people do when the Jews were attacked? Basically, nothing. In typical Nazi fashion, a detailed report of the atrocities was submitted by Reinhard Heydrich, second in command of the SS after Heinrich Himmler, stating, this is what his report from Kristallnacht started November 9th, Wednesday night, and then the synagogues still burning, the places of business still burning, November 10th, 1938. Here's his report. 815 shops were destroyed, talking about Jewish shops. 171 dwelling houses set on fire or destroyed. 119 synagogues were set on fire, and another 76 completely destroyed. 20,000 Jews were arrested, 36 deaths were reported, and those seriously injured were also numbered at 36. What meticulous documentation, typical Nazi demonic genius. Where did they get this idea from? What inspired them to set the synagogues on fire and to break down Jewish places of business and Jewish homes? What inspired them to do it? Well, the words of Martin Luther. Is it Martin Luther? Yeah, the words of Martin Luther. A man mightily used in the Protestant Reformation, a man mightily used to go against the religious establishment of his day with incredible courage and to say that we reject these traditions that go against the word of God, and on a certain level it cost him everything to take that stand. Yes, Martin Luther. To the delight of some German pastors, the fires were still burning on November 10th, the birthday of the famed German Christian leader Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, who was born in 1483. And author Daniel Jonah Goldhagen noted, one leading Protestant churchman, Bishop Martin Zasse of Thuringia, published a compendium of Martin Luther's anti-Semitic vitriol shortly after Kristallnacht's orgy of anti-Jewish violence. In the foreword to the volume, he applauded the burning of the synagogues and the coincidence of the day. Quote, on November 10th, 1938, on Luther's birthday, the synagogues are burning in Germany. The German people, he urged, ought to heed these words, quote, of the greatest anti-Semite of his time, the warner of his people against the Jews. How in the world did these things happen in church history? How did it happen that the vehicle of God's love and the expression of his love to the world, to the Jewish people first and to the Gentiles as well, became a Jew-hating organization? How did this happen? We'll continue to unfold it today on The Line of Fire. Take advantage of the special resource offer, 24 hours only. Get two copies of the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, which only our ministry has. It's only $25 for one, plus postage. Today, $30, postage paid. It's basically buying one, getting the second one free. Get one for yourself. Get one for a seeking Jewish friend. Take advantage of this, and as you do, we will meet an obligation to the publisher who helped us get these hardcover volumes out. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. Give us strength to
always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on The Line of Fire. I'm not taking your calls, but please weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Another reminder to all of our friends in the greater D.C. area. Actually, I'll be ministering all next weekend, so the first weekend in August, the weekend after this, in greater D.C. area, Oakton, Virginia, Whole Word Fellowship on Vail Road, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. But the most important meeting to be at is the Friday night listeners' rally, the first time we've done this in greater D.C. For more info, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can click on the itinerary, 7:30 in the evening. Let me say something about the love of God and the heart of God. God does not call the church to acts of mercy and love towards the Jewish people because Jewish people are better than anyone else, because Jewish people are nicer than anyone else, because Jewish people are friendlier than anyone else. Or you may know, you may have Jewish friends that are the greatest people you know. You may have Jewish friends that you're hardly friends with. It is because through Israel's error, mercy has come to the Gentile world, to the rest of the nations. This is what's written in Romans 11. And God now wants to have mercy back on the Jewish people. And that will come, his expression of mercy will come through the church. Now look at the reasoning here in Romans the 11th chapter. Paul says this, if some of the branches, speaking of the Jewish branches, the natural branches of the olive tree, have been broken off, and you, the wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. What does that mean? Do not say, well, you Jews are cursed and we Christians are blessed. We're the new Israel. We've replaced you guys. Your mission is fulfilled in us and you're out of the picture now. Do not boast over those branches. Oh, God's done an entirely new thing in the church, and it has no roots back to Israel or the Old Testament or the Jewish people. No, no, no. This is an entirely new thing. No, do not boast over those branches. Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, did not come into the world to establish a beautiful new religion called Christianity, although it is known through the world as Christianity. He came into the world to fulfill what was written in Moses and the prophets. He came into the world to complete the mission and to bring it to its next phase, to its next stage. He did not come to introduce a new religion. In fact, the new covenant that was made with whom? Israel and Judah. And it is through Israel and Judah now extending that message, the Jewish apostles now extending this message to the whole world, that mercy and forgiveness can come to the entire world. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Friend, that is what happened through much of church history. When the church cut itself off from its Jewish roots, you say, what do I mean? When it told Jewish believers, you can't observe the Saturday Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. You can't celebrate the feasts of Passover and things like that. You just need to celebrate the church holidays. When the church said, we will separate from the Jewish celebration of Passover on the 14th of Nisan, we will separate from that and we will set our own date for our Easter celebration and break away from the Jewish timing of it, which Constantine said in very, very strong, embarrassingly anti-Semitic terms. I don't have any connection to the Jewish dating or community or calendar or anything like that. There is a boasting over the branches. There is a cutting off from roots. And these things are marked with spiritual decline. They are marked with formalism entering the church. They are marked by unbiblical teachings. They are marked by heretical teachings to the extent that the church cut off its Jewish roots and boasted against the branches. To that extent, the church fell away. Now, there are fine believers today who love Jesus, who I believe have a serious error in their theology about Israel. And they say the church has replaced Israel, the church has fulfilled Israel's mission, and there's no more purpose for national Israel. Or God is finished with Israel, and therefore the modern nation of Israel has no connection to God's plan or purpose. I understand that there are believers who love the Lord and who are wrong on that issue. I'll say plainly, they are wrong on that issue. But to the extent the break is made with the Jewish people, to the extent there is a boasting over the branches, hardness, unbelief will enter in. So this is what Paul says. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily would these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And I'll come back and continue to talk about this. Well, let me read this now. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. See, it's the ignorance of the mystery that Israel is hardened in part. It's the ignorance of the mystery that God has not fully cast them off. It is the ignorance of the mystery that God has not finished with Israel, that there remains a place and purpose for Israel, and that they will be grafted in en masse, that there will be a national turning. Ignorance of that leads to hardness of heart. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number or the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved on the heels of the great salvation of the Gentiles, of the nations, on the heels of this great harvest, or provoked by this great harvest, so all Israel will be saved. What a glorious truth. Friends, if you don't yet have a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus, the number one book I've ever written with supernatural grace on me earlier this year, number one book to give to a Jewish person who's seeking, number one book for a Christian to read that will unveil the mysteries of who the Messiah is. I'm talking about a way that the gospel will come alive to you. The hardcover, we're the only ones that have that, is $25 plus postage challenge. It probably comes to about $30. Today, buy one, get one free, $30 postage paid. We will send you these two books, hardcover. And we're doing this, we need to meet an obligation to the publisher that printed a couple thousand plus of these hardcover volumes so that we could have the exclusive rights to the hardcover volume. But we need to make our final payment. So our loss is your gain. All right. This is basically our cost, and we're going to make one large payment to the publisher, but it's just 24 hours because we can't afford to do this on an ongoing basis. Call right now 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore. You'll see the special offer. And again, we're serious. 24 hours is all we can do this. 1-800-278-9978. Also, we've got a couple more days where you can get a 15% discount with Logos Bible Software on all their base packages. And anything you order, 15% will be sent to us by Logos. Great response so far, but we've got a couple more days to do it. Go to logos.com/lineoffire. logos.com/lineoffire. And would you join me in believing for the salvation of Israel?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday about what happens in church history, and even to this day, when the church cuts off its Jewish roots, when the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, says we have replaced Israel and God is through with them. When believers, Gentile believers, as Paul writes in Romans 11, boast against the branches, meaning the fellow Jewish believers and the Israel roots of the faith, what happens? We're talking about it on this important broadcast today on The Line of Fire. I'm not taking any calls today, but please weigh in at askdrbrown.org and click on The Line of Fire. Also, just a quick note, we've got kind of a wild special resource offer that we're just doing for 24 hours so that we can be a blessing to you and you can help us meet a need, an obligation with a publisher. I'll tell you about that in a moment, but it's neat. Trust me, no hype. It's just a super deal. We thought here's a way to bless you in an unusual way that we can't afford to do in an ongoing way. So I'll tell you about that in a little while. All right, something, I don't know if this is on a lighter note or what, but before I dive into the subject more, here's news that was published about a week ago from Israel. A Sephardic rabbi endorses concubine scenario under Jewish law. That's the story. I've not seen it widely reported. Sephardic Jews are Jews from the Middle East, from Northern Africa, from parts of Spain, as opposed to Ashkenazi Jews, who would be more European, Eastern European in particular. The majority of Jews in the world today are Ashkenazi. The chief judge of the Jerusalem Rabbinical Court and a Sephardic rabbi in Israel has ruled that the taking of a concubine is an act that in certain instances is permissible by halakha, the code of Jewish law. Rabbi Eliyahu Abrigel, a Talmudist, so rabbinic scholar who has published dozens of books and thousands of responsa on Jewish law, those would be answers to questions about Jewish law, wrote in his recent publication, Divrot Eliyahu, that a man prevented from having children, whether because his wife refuses to procreate or because she is unable to, may take a concubine with whom to procreate, because his first wife is, quote, preventing him from building a family and spreading his seed, adding even, quote, that the concubine may also live with the couple. Wow. The 64-year-old Rabbi Abrigel is by no means a fringe voice, holding the title of Chief Judge of the Jerusalem Rabbinical Court and heading the Tzuf Dvash Rabbinical School in Jerusalem. Rabbi Abrigel was also a previous contender for the title of Sephardic Chief Rabbi. It is unclear if concubinage is practiced significantly in the communities in Israel or if it will increase based on the new ruling. And I guess Sephardic Jews who come from a more polygamous culture would be more open to this way of thinking. However, Rabbi Abrigel does relate that his ruling had practical implications for a head of a major Jewish institution who was allowed to take a concubine after learning his first wife could not bear children. Wow. That's fascinating. I tell you, you say, well, it happened in Bible days. I'm quite sure it's not for today. These were concessions. These were not ideals on any level. But I personally expect the closer we get to the end of the age, whether that's 10 years from now or 100 years from now, or God knows how many years, that there will be more and more of a religious Jewish society that is side by side with a strong messianic Jewish witness, just like we see in the Gospels and the book of Acts. We'll see that unfold before our eyes in the coming days. Okay, we come back. I want to tell you about this special resource offer. I want to read a quick testimony or two to you and then take you on a journey through church history. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to this thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast on The Line of Fire. Everything is the same. It's Thursday, thoroughly Jewish Thursday, except I'm not taking any calls. You can interact with me via the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. In a moment, I want to tell you about a special resource offer that we have that truly will bless you as we get you some materials at our cost and will help us meet an obligation to our publisher. This is a note from Michael, speaking of my five-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. He says, I will just say that those five volumes have been of untold benefit to me, both from a learning point of view and also in my outreach to the Orthodox Jewish community. They were of tremendous value and a real blessing to many people, as are so many of the books that you have written. Of course, we expressed our appreciation to Michael. And then check this out. You never know who you're reaching and speaking to. This is from Sean. Dr. Brown, I'm from a small town in South Africa, but not so small that I can't get your podcasts. I honestly don't know how I ended up listening to you, but I can honestly say that you've been such a blessing to me. From my salvation 3 years ago to this day, the Lord has used me to preach, but I'm indebted to men like you. I understand that every man that was used from God is built upon the past generation, even Calvin built upon Luther, who built upon Wycliffe, who built upon Augustine, and so on. And you have been one of the very few men I allow myself to build with because you have such great insight that I admire, but most importantly, you speak truth, not just what people want to hear. I hope the Lord will use me in a mighty way, as in my opinion he has done with you, but I just want to take these few minutes of your time just to honestly and wholeheartedly say thank you for everything. Of course, I wrote back to Sean personally, thanking him for those words. And I think what's most meaningful to me is, even for someone as a fairly new believer and someone now 3 years old in the Lord, he recognizes that it's our intent to speak truth and not just what people want to hear. There is more temptation to do that than you realize. There is more pressure to do that than you realize. But ultimately, we don't help anyone if we do. One of the Puritans said, ministers are cooks, not physicians, and therefore should not study to please the palate, but to cure the patient. Yes, I'll repeat that. Ministers, this is from a Puritan leader, ministers are not cooks, but physicians, and therefore should not study to please the palate, but to cure the patient. John Wesley said, we're all approved, few profit. Our goal is not just to tell people what they want to hear, but what they need to hear, which is the ultimate expression of God's love. What happened in church history? When this whole gospel message started, and it was totally Jewish, was it not, from beginning to end? Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah, his mother's name, Miriam, his father, Yosef, his earthly father, Yosef, the man that was his forerunner, St. John the Baptist. Well, how about Yohanan the Immerser? Oh, yeah, that would have been the way he would have been recognized. In fact, both he and Yeshua were called Rabbi, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yochanan. There was not formal ordination of rabbis at that time. That came a generation plus later. But it was used as an honorific title, a title of respect for a Jewish teacher. He was not Reverend Christ. He was Rabbi Yeshua. Yochanan, the immerser, the forerunner of the Messiah. And Yeshua's disciples, men with names like Yaakov and Kepha and Yochanan and Matai or Matijahu. Those were the names of his followers. And his mission, he said, I've come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. On the rarest occasion did he minister to a Gentile his 3 years on the earth. And then when he rose from the dead, it was all his Jewish emissaries and disciples who were now commissioned to take the message. And it was through them that it went to the Gentile world. And the prophets were the prophets of Israel, and the scriptures were transmitted and handed down and preserved by the people of Israel, by the Jewish people, which would mean that every Christian in the world today has a debt to the Jewish people, has a debt of gratitude. even if Jewish people, by and large, the great bulk, do not believe in Jesus the Messiah, there is still a historical indebtedness. By the second chapter of our story here, by the second century, there were church leaders who were already starting to demonize the Jews. Now, many of these church leaders had been persecuted. There were Jewish followers of Jesus and Gentile followers of Jesus who may have been persecuted by Jewish leaders. Either way, because these Jewish people were not believing in Jesus, were not receiving him as Messiah and Lord, there was hostility towards them. And whatever mistreatment Jewish leaders may have engaged in against Christians at any point in history, or the early Jewish believers persecuted by their fellow Jews, for whatever reason, there was animosity as the church began to develop in the second century. And some of the Christian leaders demonized the Jews, or at least dehumanized them. By the time you get to the fourth century, the time of John Chrysostom, John the Golden Mouth, the great preacher of his day, one of the noted Christian leaders of his day, still celebrated in particular in Greek Orthodox circles, John Chrysostom let loose against the Jews. John Chrysostom said that the synagogue was worse than a brothel. He said God hated the Jews and he hated the Jews. What happened was that Chrysostom was disturbed that some of his congregants were attending Jewish synagogue services and learning Jewish traditions and seemed interested in Judaism, so he wanted to say how horrific it was. And even though later in life he was a friend of the Jewish community, they were not mortal enemies at the end of his life, the fact is those words of his thundered through the centuries. The man called Golden Mouth, after he died, his words thundered through the centuries. God hates the Jews. And it became a Christian thing to hate the Jews. By the time you get to the Protestant Reformation, that Erasmus, who was a theological counterpart, or, well, he and Luther had it out on a number of issues. Erasmus said, if it's Christian to hate the Jews, then here we all are, fully Christian, to paraphrase his words. By the time you get to the Middle Ages and the Crusades, which sometimes were church-sponsored and sometimes were more just uprisings of the people, we've got to free the Holy Land from the Muslim infidels. As the Crusaders began to march through Europe, they began to realize, wait a second, we have an enemy far worse than the Muslim infidels here in Europe. It's the Jews, the assassins of Christ, the Christ killers. And if Jesus indeed is God, then they're guilty of deicide, killing God. This is what was taught. And the Jews many times could not work regular professions and jobs, so they would be moneylenders. Well, you owe them money. You don't like them for that. They began to turn on neighbors of theirs or people that lived in the same community for decades and gave them a choice, be baptized or die. How does this happen? How does this happen? This is the church. These are the followers of Jesus. This is the only Jesus that many Jews have known through history. How does this happen? It's when the church boasts against the branches. It's when the church cuts itself off from its roots. It's when the church says, we have replaced Israel and God has finished with those unbelieving rebels. That's how it happens. That's when the Jewish tradition began for masses of Jews to say, kill us, but we'll not be baptized. And it became a holy thing for a Jew to do, dying, confessing the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, dying with that on their lips rather than be an apostate faith. And rightly so did they consider this to be an apostate faith. Any faith that tells you, follow our God or die, is absolutely not from God. Crusaders entered Jerusalem 1099 in the summer. They finally overcome the Muslim and Jewish resistance. And then the Jews are herded together in the synagogue. Some flee there, others herded together there. And the Crusaders burn the synagogue to the ground as they march around it singing, Christ, we adore thee, with crosses emblazoned on their Crusader uniforms. That's the only Jesus many Jewish people have known through history. Friends, if you don't yet have my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, which starts with Martin Luther and his contribution through his anti-Semitic writings, his contribution to the Holocaust, hundreds of years after his death, that alone is worth the price of the book. But here's what we're doing. This is the number one book I've ever written to give to a Jewish person. It'll open their heart and mind as to who Jesus really is. We continue to get rave reviews about it. It's the number one book I've written for a Christian that'll open up the Jewish roots of the faith in an amazing way. It'll take you on an incredible journey. It's only $25 for the hardcover edition, plus postage makes it around $30. Today, $30 postage paid, we'll send you two of them. So you buy one, get one free. We've never done this before. We can't afford to, but we have to pay the publisher for the copies of the hardcover version they publish for us. We have a final obligation, so we're basically getting it to you at our cost to make this final payment. 24 hours only. You've got to order today. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore. It'll be the first offer that comes up. 1-800-278-9978. Buy one, get the second one free.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I say it every day, but I can't believe we are at the end of this hour already. But I've got plenty more to share with you, so keep your seat belts fastened. Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. If you missed the show on Tuesday, we had Scott Lindsay, Ministry Relations Director for Logos Bible Software, on talking about Logos Bible Software. We've gotten a great response through the week. They've been keeping me posted, but this is going to end the end of this week. When you order any Bible software from Logos this week, 15% of your order will be sent to us at the Line of Fire to be used for our radio ministry. One of the neat and amazing things. So it's the regular prices, and then 15% goes. They haven't raised the prices. 15% goes as a contribution to us. But if you get, and this is going to end at the end of this week, they're doing this, an unusual thing, as Scott said on the air, this is the lowest price you'll ever see. There are base packages where you get hundreds and hundreds of books for your library to start. The base packages are also being discounted 15%. So you can go online and you can get anything, one book, you'll still get free software with it, and a donation will be made to us. But if you get a base package, 15% off, plus 15% will go to us. So to do that, go to logos.com, logos.com/lineoffire. Click on products, explore what's there, look at the base packages. That's logos.com/lineoffire, or just jot the special number down, okay? If you're driving, be careful. 1-800-875-6467. 1-800-875-6467. But make sure you mention Line of Fire when you call or enter Line of Fire for your code. All right? What happened through church history is deplorable, is shameful in terms of its treatment of the Jewish people. Now, thankfully, there have been large segments of the church untouched by this. As I have ministered in Asia, I've been to Korea a dozen times, for example, been to Japan, been to the Philippines, and of course India, going on 20 times. As I've done that and shared some of these things, these Asian Christians are shocked. They never heard any of this. A lot of the history of anti-Semitism in church history is an Anglo phenomenon, largely a white European phenomenon. Nonetheless, that's been the loudest message that many Jewish people have heard through the centuries, and that's what they understand, quote, Christianity to be. And thankfully, through the ages, there have been wonderful witnesses to the Jewish people. And there have been popes who stood up for the rights of the Jewish people in the midst of anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish prejudice. Still, some of the popes stood up, or some of the reformers vehemently differed with Luther's anti-Semitism later in life, and the Lutheran Church has basically celebrated Luther's earlier writings in 1523 when he reached out to the Jewish people with humility and blasted the way the Catholic Church had treated the Jewish people. So by all means, friends, I am not painting a monolithic picture. And I thank God for those Christian voices that have spoken with such love and tenderness to the Jewish people. One of the greatest, most spiritual of the Puritans, Samuel Rutherford, said that he would delay heaven if he could just to see the day when Jesus and Israel were reunited and reconciled. It's an amazing quote when you read all of it. And in our day, and I've seen this since I was saved, there is an increasing evangelical Christian love for Israel. This is not to whitewash Israel or to say that Israel does everything right. It's not to deny that there are issues that need to be addressed in terms of treatment of the Palestinians, in particular the plight of Palestinian Christians. It is to say that when the church has so persecuted Jewish people in Jesus' name through the centuries, when professing Christians and false Christians have given such an ugly name to Jesus, to the Jewish people, that it behooves Christians to go above and beyond their natural inclination and desire and to bless the Jewish people and to bless the nation of Israel and to say, we want to demonstrate to you who Jesus really is. We want to demonstrate church looks like. We want to demonstrate to you what it means to have the love of God in our hearts. Sometimes Christians hear these things and they're so ashamed. They're so shocked, they're so mortified when they hear some of this church history, they don't know what to do. And I tell them, if you're ever talking to a Jewish person and they bring up, well, what about church history? What about the persecution of the Jews? And the Holocaust could have never happened in Europe without the history of anti-Semitism before it, which is certainly true, even though the Holocaust itself was anti-Christian. I tell them, especially if you're a Gentile believer, say, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I apologize for these ugly things that so-called followers of Jesus have done. Let me tell you, as a follower of Jesus, I love the Jewish people. And you know, the best friends Israel has anywhere in the world today are Christians or evangelical Christians. It's because we believe the words of the New Testament. It's because we know that God will not forever cast off the Jewish people. It's because we know that our Savior Jesus was a Jew himself, as was Paul and Peter and the other apostles, and therefore we have a spiritual connection to you as a Jewish person. And then from there, share the love of God with them and the salvation message as appropriate, as wisdom allows, because the fact is there is no salvation for anyone, Jew or Gentile, outside of Jesus, outside of Yeshua. And if you're ashamed of church history, don't let that shame stop you from sharing the good news with a Jewish person, because the most important way to express love is to tell them about Jesus, Yeshua. All right, friends, if you haven't heard, we printed over 2,000 copies of The Real Kosher Jesus in hardcover. Thousands and thousands have been sold through the publisher in paperback, but we alone have the hardcover. The publisher printed this for us as a special edition just for our listeners and those in touch with our ministry. It's a $25 book with shipping and handling, comes to about $30. Beautiful hardcover. But we have to make our last payment to the publisher for that initial shipment of 2,300 books, whatever it was. We've paid most of it. We need to make our last payment. So I came up with this plan. This is not gospel enterprise. This is a way of blessing you while we meet a need. You'll get it basically for our cost, all right? Buy one, get the second one free, and we'll pay the postage. How's that? So you get this book as a believer, it'll open your eyes. Trust me, you'll have a hard time putting it down. We hear it constantly. It's like, I had to keep flipping the pages and go to the next chapter, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. And then find a Jewish friend, a Jewish person, you know, give them the book, especially if they're a seeker, if they're interested. Best book you could possibly put in their hands to lead them to who Jesus is. So take advantage of this. We're just doing this for 24 hours because we can't afford to do this in an ongoing way, obviously. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Click on the online bookstore, and today's special offer will be there right on the homepage with the online bookstore. 1-800-278-9978. $30 postage paid. Two copies of the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus. Friends, take advantage of this. And my bottom line today, I appeal to you, my Gentile brothers and sisters in Jesus. Without you, I would never have come to faith. You shared the gospel with me. You witnessed to me. You prayed for me. Show that same love to Jewish people today. Share the good news of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, with them.